Simon Shin Mem Ches Din Amoshet B'Rishus L'Rishus, the halacha of Hoshota stretching from one domain to another. This is a simon with one sif only. And this is what it says. Hoyoymet B'Rishus Yochid is one very important halachic implication from here, which we need to discuss. Hoyoymet B'Rishus Yochid, somebody was standing in a Rishus Yochid in a private domain. So let's say he was standing on a balcony, might be a good example, or could be any private domain, really. And he's stretching out, and he had his hand, which held Meleopeiros, full of fruit. His hand was holding fruit, and he stretched it into the public domain, L'Rishus Rabim. So what he did is, he simply had a fruit, which he picked up in his own house, in Rishus Yochid. He stretched it out of the window into a public domain. Well, that's the problem, right? Because by doing so, he transgressed. So now, if it's b'soy chasor, if it's within 10 tfachim from the ground, so b'soy geik mutal achzira, if this action was done b'soy geik, yet either forgotten, this is a melacha, who had forgotten its Shabbos, then mutal achzira lo yisei chotze, he's allowed to return it back into the domain which he had come from. So basically, if he stretched it out, he should stretch it back in. V'osu leoshito lechotze achers, but he may not stretch into a different domain. So, do like, he stretched it out. If he stretched it out by mistake, he should stretch it back in. Yes, he may not stretch into a different rishus. That he may not do. If this was done b'meizit, also if he's done it willingly b'meizit, he's not allowed to return it back into the rishus yochid. He's done an avera, so we're not allowing him to sort it out by pulling it back. He's not allowed, if he stretched it out be'issa, be'meizit, he's not allowed to stretch it back in. This is only if he stretched it out before Shabbos. But if he stretched the hand out when it was dark already, when it was Shabbos, he's allowed to return it back into the Rishus Yochid, because perhaps he may drop it, and he's going to be ultimately over on a Issa D'Raisa, because what he's done is doing an Oitzah and then dropping, so although it's because of lack of kirch, but still it's a full Rishus, full Hanochen Rishus Yochid and Rishus Rabim, and therefore be over on Issa D'Raisa. Pamedvorim Amurim, when do we say all this? Shotzi Rishus Rabim, that's if he stretched hand into a public domain. Havodim Yitzhali Kamelis, but if you're talking about stretching his hand out into a Kamelis, Pechol Gavnamut Al Achzir, it's always going to be permitted to return his outstretched hand back into Rishus Yochid. These are the sifa we're learning today. But there's one underlying, excuse me. But there's one underlying concept which is really important that we're seeing over here. Rabbi said, we are seeing that if you stretch something out into a Rishus Rabim, then the ideal action you should take is to return it back into the Rishus Yochid. Why so? And if you want to be really questioning this, we may also raise the point that, where did you start? Rishus Yochid. And you are stretching it out into Rishus Rabim. So why not to put it back into Rishus Yochid? You're making things worse. Ideally, what you meant to do, let's say this is the window over here. So I lift up this peiros over here and I stretched it out. Oh no! Oh, I forgot it's Shabbos. So ideally, what you meant to do is this, putting it back into Rishus Yochid. That's what it says. Now Shulchan Aruch says, yes, if it's a kamelis, it's no problem. And we're learning also that if difference of opinion, if it was before Shabbos, after Shabbos. But either way, what we are seeing here, either way, is the best course of action to take is this, putting it back. And my question is, why is it not considered the worst thing to do? Because you're doing Rishus Yochid to Rishus Rabim, and Rishus Rabim back to Rishus Yochid. Oh, very good. Very good. Very good. Because you did not put it down, or in the words of the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, you did not do a hanocha. You didn't do a hanocha. You didn't place it, and therefore, the best course of action to do is this. Now, Rabbi said this is really, really, really important. It's important because of this, or important perhaps because of, does anybody have a tissue? Because of anything that you may be in your pocket as you walked out on Shabbos. Imagine you've got a tissue or a handkerchief, whatever it may be, a key, a piece of paper, anything. You walked out from your private domain on Shabbos Kodesh. You walked out a few steps. Oh, I realize I've got this loose button in my pocket. What am I meant to do? So now, leaving out the discussion of a Mokum Ptur, I'm leaving this out. As whether Mokum Ptur does help, does not help. If we have Mokum Ptur, no, I'm leaving this out. Because what the poets can say, the ideal course of action to do is, based on what we're learning tonight, to go back to the Rosh Yochid you came from. Because we're learning now that to do this action of putting something, I lift this up in the Rosh Yochid, the peros that the Shulchan Aruch is discussing, and I stretched it out. Yes, that's right. If I didn't put it down in the Rosh Yochid, then by putting it back, Loshna Gemora, Lois Avida, Machshavtoi, I didn't do anything. I didn't actually create any melacha. I didn't do any melacha. Melacha is defined by picking up in one domain, moving it out and placing it down in the next domain. If I just put it back into the domain where I came from, I haven't done anything. I have done nothing.
Go to any private domain.
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. The answer is no. The answer is no. The answer is yes and no. The answer is no, because what we're learning is that the very best course of action is to bring it back to the domain where you came from, because that means you have done nothing. It's as if you didn't even start the melacha. All you've done is an akira, and you failed an anocha. So what you've done is nothing, and that's the best. If you're bringing it to another Rishus Yochid, so it's a little different, because what you've done is you've done a Rishus Yochid, an akira, you have moved it in through the Rishus Rabbim, and put it down in a different Rosh Hashanah. That's not as great. You've done something which may not be a Melacha D'oraisa, but, not great. It's not best. Might be the Rabbanon. But to put it back where it came from, that's certainly the best thing to do. So Rabbi Yisai, Halacha L'maisa L'maisa Mamash. If a person notices he has something in his pocket on Shabbos, and he knows he has not stopped, yeah, very important. If he knows for a fact he has not stopped, the best course of action to do is to return to the Rosh Yochid where he came from. So, if you davened in shul and you use a tissue and the tissue ended up in your pocket for some reason, you're walking out of shul and suddenly you realize, oh no, I've got this tissue in my pocket. The best thing to do, if you just literally walked out, you return where you came from and you place it there. By doing that, you've actually not done a melacha d'oraisa, and you've also not done a melacha d'rabbanon. If you cannot go back to the Rosh Yochid where he came from, what you should do is exactly what Mr. Blin suggests, him to go into a different Rosh Yochid, which is the second best option. Because then what you've done is Rosh Yochid Akira, you've done a walking, a halicha, that's a good time, you've done a halicha in Rosh Rabbim without the hanocha, and finally doing the hanocha in different Rosh Yochid, perhaps at the Rabbanon, but probably not more than that. So does that make sense? And the source for this is this Shulchan Aruch that we're seeing now, which is basically Gemara in first break of Shabbos, that if you do a hotzah and you return the item where it came from, that is actually mutter. It's not potter v'losa, it's mutter. Okay, that's very important. I always said to remember that. Okay, moving on to Simon Shin Lamed Ches. That's not as great, because you're doing it the Rabbanon by doing that. It might be the best out of all options, because you're doing it the Rabbanon b'shinui. But it's not the best of all. It's not as good as what we discussed now.
Once you have stopped, you have to drop it.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I would like to just... Rabbi Kagan says, it's the best... I have a little bit of a... when I learned this in greater detail years ago, I wanted to be Mechadosh, that you could really argue that let's say you stopped in Rosh Hashanah, and then you realize a few minutes after you stopped, you realize that you had stopped. So I want to argue that perhaps what you should do is you should go back to the place where you stopped initially and drop it there. Why did I think that way? I won't suggest. Perhaps it's considered as if you didn't do a melacha as well. Imagine somebody picks up something in Rosh Hashanah and he does it, he walks around a little bit without stopping, and he puts it back where he had
picked. Without leaving the Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah, without leaving the Rosh Hashanah. He picks something up in Rosh Hashanah, and he walks around, and without stopping, and then he goes back to the place where he found it, and he puts it back down there. Did he do Menachah Deraisa or not? No, but Akir Noach also needs to be in two different places. Lichoyre, yeah.
Why?
Because it's like Hutzah. It's a Tol of Hutzah. It's a Loch Mashiv Sinah Hutzah. Someone could argue, perhaps, it's the, perhaps, but I didn't find it in the any poskim. So you didn't find any poskim. So when I asked Rabbonim, they said it's a bad idea. Because you're probably not going to find exactly the right place where you picked it up. Yeah, so they said it's a bad idea. Yeah. So it's a bad idea, and they told me to...
As long as it would be the same 4 hours, that counts.
No, perhaps, yes. I want to say that Mistama 4 hours would count. Because that Amas Kirshuso, so Mr. Bart, on my side, didn't get any agreement from any senior of. So, yeah. Okay, but it certainly would make sense. Okay. Rabbi Isai, page 368. When is the ideal day to get married? Chuppah. Thursday. Thursday, best day?
All
these
children got married on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, there's Makos for that.
It's Gemara and Ksuvas.
Tuesday, no? Oh, Gemara and Ksuvas. Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, there's Makos of Tuesday because of Kitov. There's no proper Makos for that. Thursday is, according to Chazal, the best. Yeah, of course, yes. What was very common, a little bit based to what you were saying, but it used to be very common. I think I may have mentioned it previously. It was very common to have Friday chuppas. And the reason for that, historically, so I heard, was that people had very limited funding for chasnas. And then on Shabbos, you anyway need to make like a flashy meal anyway. So you add a few more guests, and that's the chasna
sudan. So why is Thursday?
No, so Thursday. I forgot now why Thursday, but it's Gemara and Ksuvas. Yeah, no, it's contrary to popular belief. On Tuesday, people say Tuesday. There's very weak sources for that. Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. So anyway, but it was very common to have Friday chuppas. That was very common. So imagine the following scenario, because that's what we're going to be talking about. You have a Friday afternoon. People are anyway, they're finished work and all that, and they're a bit more... It looks like people had more time on Friday afternoons than nowadays. So they would come get together on Friday, make a chuppah, Friday afternoon chuppah, and straight lead from there. It will be the Friday night davening, and following from there, there will be the Suda, Friday night Suda will be the Chasna meal. You anyway need to make a Shabbos meal, you invite a few more people anyway, and that will be the Chasna Suda. Very humble expectations, very humble expectations indeed. Unlike the grand Chasnas that we all, experienced and experience. It wasn't any of that. It was very humble, very, very nice, very nice. I don't think our people suffered because of that. I don't think so. But now there was a question arising that, okay, we want to make this Friday night davening a little bit more b'chavadeg and a bit nicer. So in order to do that, we want to make the chuppah leading on to the Friday night davening. We want to use music. And then since it's maybe clashing a little bit, we want to make live music. You know, violin? Yeah, good idea. You're going to go straight from the chuppah. Now, the problem is that you may be clashing with Shabbos a little bit. It may be leading into Shabbos. But, who are the musicians? Goyim. All Goyim, yeah. They know how to do it best. So now, is it a problem, yes or no, to allow Goyish musicians to do the music as Shabbos comes in for the purpose of Chosn and Kalev? Yes, Shabbos is moving into Shabbos. Yes,
on Shabbos. So,
Also.
Yeah, because you're paying them.
You think not, we're going to say yes.
That's it. Shulchan Aruch, page 368. Yesh matirim, some allow. Loima, to say, le'en Yehudi, to say to the goy, le'nagein be'klei shir, to play a musical instrument, be'chupois on chupus. Continues the Ramah. Ve'afilu, and even, loima le'en Yehudi, to even tell the goy, le'saken ha'klei shir, shori, even if it comes to fixing the klei shir, imagine the violin in the middle of, miadir, in the middle of miadir, doing! The thing goes off, and the clarinet goes off, even when the musical instrument breaks, are you allowed to tell the goy to fix the musical instrument on Shabbos Kodesh? Says the Rama, ve'afilun even loy malin yudi, even to tell the goy le'saken akli shir, to fix the musical instrument, shori is permitted mishum, because kvoit chosn v'kala, in order to honor the chosn and the kala, avol belavachi also, but if it's not a chosn v'kala, it's going to be prohibited. It's going to be also miu. However, pismanazeh nowadays we extend this heter nagula okel. The custom is to be even more lenient mitam sheis babesim shachazeh, for the reason that is explained in the later on. Nowadays we're even more, we stretch his head a little bit more, as discussed later on. So Rabbi Issa, what we are seeing over here is that it is permitted to allow goyim to play the music on Shabbos Kodesh for Chosn V'Kala. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotten Tes. Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kotten Ches, actually is very important. What are the halachic parameters of this? The isu seif kotten ches in Mishnah Berurah loyma. The isu hashmas koil beklei shir einu le isu drabonon. Music on Shabbos is the rest of drabonon. Drabonon, one drabonon. Gzeiro shamei sakin klei shir. Because the whole idea why music is also on Shabbos is because he may come to fix a musical instrument. So it's only drabonon. So music on Shabbos is drabonon only. And to tell a goy to play the music, to tell a goy to the music is also an istabonon. So that's called a double istabonon. You are asking a goy to play a musical instrument, that's double rabonon. And that's loshna poiskim, that's called a shvus to shvus, that's right. We have a shvus to shvus. Over mokhe mitzvah, and generally the rule of thumb is that the shvus, in the place of a mitzvah, but a mitzvah is permitted.
And then if the rice is involved in playing instruments?
No. So playing instrument itself is only drabonon. But you're right, I know what you want to. Because the Ramos says what? The Ramos says that even if it breaks, you have to ask him to fix. And fixing is, and that's certainly the rice. So we're allowing even the rice over here on the second. But let's go slow, because at this point we're saying that you're allowed to ask a goy to play the musical instrument. Because Shvus is more a mitzvah. The Einzim Chosn V'Kala Elo B'Klei Shir. For sure, he says that the Chosn and Kala, they truly enjoy music, and their joy is not full without music. Is that true? The joy, the Simcha of a Chosn V'Kala is only.
It depends
on playing music. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Very true. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, that it's integral to the sim, to the chosn v'kala, to have some loud music. But then he says that, and then he comes down, even if it comes to fixing it, it's still permitted. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because the simchas chosn v'kala is extraordinary, and therefore we're allowing even the isadiraisa as well. So that's that. Rabbi Yisrael, I want to tell you, there's been a wide misquotation of this Shulchan Aruch for the following reason. There was a very great debate in Germany, by the onset of the reform movement in the mid-1880s, it was one of the very great reformers whose name I have now forgotten. He may come back shortly. Not Mendelssohn, no, he was another one. He introduced, he introduced the organ, is that what it's called? Organ, in his shul. And that's where the very great, the very heat debate, he said that it's, what do you mean, it's beautiful. The organ is beautiful, beautiful sound organ. Well, of course, where did he come from? Where did he come from to have an organ in the shul? Of course, he had that from the Tifla. Had it introduced this, and he did it on weekdays, but weekdays the shul wasn't so well attended, but certainly on Friday night, where the shul was packed, he ensured that as Friday night, he used to play, the organ was played in his beautiful shul, which I believe was in Berlin. And of course, the Abon, and then he claimed, this is completely like, this is in line with Halacha. This is Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to play the music. On Friday night, that's what he says. Yesh matim, lo emelin. Pekin said, you're permitted. And he said, you had all agenda for here. I'm sticking to Shulchan Aruch. Organ is at the Rabbonim. You know, you can have to play the music. And that was his very good. But of course, all the Rabbonim on the right wing, I shouldn't even call them the right wing, all the full Rabbonim, they declared a war on this individual. And he said, lo minei velo miktsose, don't even start. We're not having any organs in shul. And he said, this is, not only that, it's also on Shabbos, which I'm misquoting over here, but it's even also on weekdays. An organ is not to be put in a shul because chuk is a goy. And most importantly, the Chassam Sofer, Reb Shimshon of Ol Hirsch, Reb David Tzvi, the Melamed Lehoil, Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, Reb Shabbos a bit later, was after that controversy. But talking about all the great Ashkenazic Rabbonim in the late 1800s, and all the great Rabbonim, they felt that this is what we call a Milchemes Mitzvah, and they fought it, and they said that any shul that has an organ in it, you may not even step in there, it's the signs of the reform, it's Chukas HaGoy. Mishnah Berurah, you're very unlike his normal Mahalach. Mishnah Berurah doesn't tend to quote Achronim, and he certainly doesn't tend to quote a lot of Chukas HaSam Sofer, you can probably count how many times Chassam Sofer is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, but here, in Sef Katan Vav, you will notice that he mentions this Chassam Sofer over here. He mentions in Sef Katan Yud, excuse me, that he says, Ein Shuv Chassam Sofer, Chelik Shishi, Simen Pei Vav, Shevirai, Zles, Arav Pechoil. These are great proofs that even on weekdays, you're not allowed to bring music into the shul. Peshaz at fill in times of davening, before the Shabbos instrument, and on Shabbos certainly there's no heter. So here he goes, and he brings briefly, very sharply, he brings this Chassam Sofer, that no musical instruments may be introduced in the shul. Never mind on Shabbos, but even on weekdays, no musical instruments. So the question is only if one can quote this, Mishnah Berurah also for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, if you want to bring a keyboard into the shul and do a bit of that in shul, is that quoting, is that in line with the Mishnah Berurah's prohibition, or is that a problem or not? Question. He says, you may not bring any music. He had the organ in mind, Chassam Sofer is talking about the organ, but does it also mean the Geshmaki keyboard on Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Yeah. Peshazat Philip, very good, very good. That's correct. So as Naftali Israel points out, is that he says Peshazat Philip, and therefore it could be that you can still do it without clashing with Chassam Sofer. But I do know that some people are reluctant to do it, and they feel that if it's not exactly Chassam Sofer, then at least it's not with Ruach, the spirit of Chassam Sofer, to bring musical instrument. Although nowadays the whole idea doesn't really exist anymore because it's certainly not Chukas HaGoy anymore. But nevertheless, the point is not to be musical. According to some, it's a strong minute not to bring any musical instrument into shul. Okay, these are the points for tonight, and we'll continue Bez Hashem with Siv Gimel tomorrow. Bez Hashem. Good evening. Yeah.